When people ask me what I did with my youth and young days, I often reply that I spent it mostly in institutions of Anglican incarceration. After 5 years at Christ College, an experience I received with modified rapture, I moved on to College House, a university hall of residence, which until recently, just before that time, had also been a theological college, and the remnants of all that were still there. At that place, the students administered a somewhat informal and unusual form of justice system called the Shambles Court. For those summoned before it, a variety of punishments awaited a guilty verdict. There was rivering, being thrown in the river that ran through the property, or being countryed, being put out in the countryside at night to find your own way home on the outskirts of Christchurch. I rejoice to tell you that when this happened to me, a police incident car picked me up within 15 minutes of being dropped off in the vicinity of McLean's Island. But some of the punishments had real imagination about them. I recall on one occasion being sentenced to blow a ping pong ball around the square, and just to make sure it was carried out, 50 or so students accompanied me dressed in their academic gowns. I can report it's possible to do this, though it's rather hard on your knees. Presiding over the Shambles Court was the CCACC, the Chief Castigator and Crime Crusher. What a wonderful title that is. Chief Castigator and Crime Crusher. I suppose in our society, the chief castigators are the television pundits who have the role of naming and shaming. Many of the people who took part in this process would themselves go on to become judges, magistrates, lawyers, and other participants in the justice system. I suppose you could argue they were getting used to the exercise of authority themselves in a rather informal and humorous way. And it's about that subject of authority and judgments that I wish to speak this morning. Or to use that wonderful New Testament Greek word, exousia, which has rather more virility to it. And you know, it's tied up in a rather paradoxical way with the image of Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd, which we just heard about. By the way, by my estimation, shepherds and sheep must be the most popular stained glass topic in New Zealand churches. I'll be prepared to lay a bet there are more of that image than any other. And sure enough, we've got one just over here, a memorial to Father Mortimer, vicar here from 1914 to 1920. He actually died of TB in 1920, was buried back in Christchurch, great Anglo-Catholic and Christian socialist. And this window was given by the members of the Sunday School to remember him. Now, the image of Christ as Good Shepherd is one rooted in paradox, with great ironies about it. On the one hand, God's mode of power in the world is soft power. He works by courteous, gracious invitation. As one wise person said, the devil drives and God draws. But on the other hand, there is an authority in this image, one that's rooted in the sacrifice made by Christ on the cross. And we might like to think, first of all, about the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 34 of that, where he talks about rooting out the bad shepherds who have cared only for their own welfare and do not look after the flock, to raise up true and good shepherds who do a good job of exercising wise governance over the flock. And the very image of a shepherd is rooted in the ministry of King David, lucky in war, successful in battle, and wise and shrewd in his political judgments. And that's one thing that Christ's authority is exercised over and through his church. And those who become clergy and vicars, if they think their job only involves leading services, preaching sermons and visiting people, are in for a bit of a surprise. It does also at times involve checking folly, pushing back malice and making wise decisions, which are sometimes tough decisions about the future of the flock. There is an authority that needs to be exercised there. By the way, isn't it ironic that in New Zealand, given the popularity of the image of sheep and shepherds, that the most famous shepherd of our history is James Mackenzie, the famous sheep rustler of the 19th century, renowned for his superhuman strength, his famous dog, and his repeated jailbreaks that made him a folk hero. And again, in terms of the image of power working through a gracious image, the New Zealand Army actually uses the Mackenzie country now as its chief testing ground for its artillery and armoured vehicles. Now, if you go into an Eastern Orthodox church, One of the images you'll see there is of Christ as the Pantocrator, the Lord of the universe, presiding over the creation, the one who will have the last word on human history, on the human story, and who will, in his judgments, raise up the unsung heroes who are not recognised in our time, will vindicate the oppressed and the wronged in a society where often the courts are not available to bring through justice, and will also judge those who brought misery to the human race, tyrants, torturers and crooks. Look out. Because in the life of the world to come, God will exclude evil, suffering, sin and death. And those who become complete accomplices with all that, he will exclude also. Now all of these images of Christ, who's wise shepherding us, who knows us well, knows us one by one, who can lead us home, are very much founded also on what he does for us in every celebration of the Eucharist. And that's why I put those words of Rowan William on the front cover of this morning's Pebble. All through his earthly life, Jesus' ministry was rooted in love and obedience to his loving Heavenly Father. All that he did was motivated by that, including the final offering of his life on the cross. And in the celebration of the Eucharist, we join in that movement of love and obedience to the Father, which he receives with gracious acceptance, and which then comes back to us as the risen life of Jesus Christ through the consecrated bread and wine. There is this continual circulating pattern of Trinitarian love through the world. And as we celebrate the Eucharist, we plug into it. We join in that circulating rhythm of love and obedience to the Father, returning to us then as the risen life of Jesus. This is what we call the sacrifice of the Eucharist. And just the stream which the Holy Spirit immerses us in and douses us in to join in that rhythm of love circulating through the world. Spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.